Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Seriously, get off your phone. We're about to record the podcast. What are you doing?
I can't help it. Why? I've downloaded this new app and I can play Scrabble with all my friends and I'm in love with it. I'm obsessed.
You haven't got any friends?
I have, cheeky.
Name some of the words you've said.
Squeeze.
Day. Whatever day it is right now. Time. Whatever time it is right now. Here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hiya.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
It's the one where we are Eurosceptic about Eurovision. We're chatting all things about the European Song Contest. We have an expert journalist on the phone who's obsessed with Eurovision. We suggest our entries and Lucy gets pretty much a geography lesson.
I get a feeling it's going to be a riot.
Oh, it absolutely is going to be a riot. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Luke and Lucy FM. Say a big thank you to everyone who's got in touch about previous episodes. You can catch all those on iTunes. Go on iTunes, type in Luke and Lucy FM or head to audioboom.com/Luke and Lucy FM. If you've just joined us for the first time, don't worry. You can just join us. I'm Luke Marsden, and a true fact about me, I once filmed a pilot for a bingo game show with Ulrika Johnson.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a pretty good fact.
Exciting.
Give us a true fact about you, Lucy Hilton.
I suppose I've never watched a Eurovision Song Contest thing all the way through.
That is absolutely diabolical.
I lead quite a boring life. What can I say?
Don't do a podcast then. that's what I'm going to say. No. And we can now proudly say that this podcast is supported by High Life Diners Club.
Yes, it is. You can get loads of things on High Life.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I have a card. You have a card, don't you?
We're members of the High Life Diners Club.
Yes, so if you love dining out, why would you ever pay full price? Discover utter foodie heaven with High Life Diners Club.
You can feast on a whole host of well-known restaurants across the UK and never pay full price again. With High Life, you can enjoy two-for-one dining at thousands of top restaurants across the UK and Ireland. I've used it and it's so amazing.
We have an exclusive offer just for our Luke and Lucy FM beautiful listeners. Claim your free 3-month High Life card right now. It's really simple. All you have to do is visit www.high-life.co.uk/myvoucher. That's www.high-life.co.uk/myvoucher and enter our unique code, which is LL16.
LL16, 3 months free, thanks to us, thanks to High Life Diners Club for supporting this podcast.
And now, thanks to you, our listeners,
for actually bothering to listen. Now, this episode, we want to discuss the freak show that frankly is Eurovision. If you've never seen
it. I thought you were going to say the freak show, which is quite frankly you then.
Well, you could enter Eurovision, Lucy, in a way, because you know, you're different. And that's the thing, though, with Eurovision.
So harsh.
So if people don't know what Eurovision is, Lucy, explain to them what Eurovision actually even is.
Okay, so Eurovision began in 1956. It was kind of a thing to unite the United Nations.
No, I don't think it's helped the peace treaty. Yeah.
He's basically a singer from every country singing a song. European country, obviously, singing a song. And everyone from those countries voting for who was their favourite. Whoever wins, wins. And whoever loses, loses.
And whoever wins, the hosting country gets to host the Eurovision the following year. That's how it works, right?
Right, okay.
Now, obviously, it's kind of like X Factor, but on a bigger European stage. And in fact, Simon Cowell wanted to do a European X Factor.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Apparently so. Yeah, I don't think he ever bothered because Eurovision's still happening. No, it's on in May. So as we record this, it's on around this time in the UK. Or if you listen to this 10 years later, it was on 10 years ago. And it happens every year, in fact, in May. And I actually, a few years ago, I didn't quite like Eurovision. No, I almost look forward to it.
Do you?
Yeah, only because
I can't bring myself to watch it. I don't know why.
With the way that live tweeting is, no. With the way that obviously it becomes an event, a spectacle when you do reality TV sort of things. It's good. It's a good live tweeting opportunity. You can sit down, you can get drunk, you can have a Chinese takeaway, and
get
you can
get smashed
and
while you're watching Eurovision.
And you can slate all the awful acts in Eurovision.
All awful. Some of them are good. They're just really cheesy, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing. The problem is we're dealing with European countries here. And, you know, there's quite a few countries involved in Eurovision. And some of them...
Like 50 countries. I think the highest has been like 53.
And there's various different rounds. They don't just all go to one place. You have to qualify and then get to the semi-finals and then the final. So what you see on TV at
the
end of
May. So it's like X Factor, really, isn't
it? In a way, yeah. It's like boot camp. And then finally, the finals are hosted by the previous winner's country. When was the last time the UK hosted?
I don't know, actually. When was that?
Have you not done any stats for this podcast?
Yeah, but I don't know when the last time the UK hosted it.
I think it was 1992, and I think I looked up something
that was
like...
ages ago. Surely yes. They've hosted it before, like, since then.
I think it was like Birmingham in 1998, maybe. But I'm telling you, we've not hosted the Eurovision in about 20 years.
No way! I didn't
know
that.
We haven't got any good enough facts. Angela Rippon once hosted the Eurovision for us.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is. Google Angela Rippon. You'll be staggered as to why this woman is hosting Eurovision.
Oh, really? I'm going to have a Google. Do I have to do it right now?
No, I wouldn't do it right now. Okay. Tell us some more Eurovision facts.
Well, the UK have won it 5 times.
Doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't. They have lost 3 times as well. Come right at the bottom.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I know. Norway are the biggest losers, though. They've lost.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Hello to any Norwegian listeners listening right now on iTunes.
They have lost 11 times since it launched in 1956. However, they have won 3 times, so we'll let them off. Of course, ABBA is the most successful Eurovision winner since they won in 1974. They have achieved phenomenal.
That good, you can't even say it.
Global success. I got it wrong. Norway aren't the biggest losers. I think Portuguese people are the biggest losers.
Portuguese people. If you're a Portuguese person right now, you're the biggest loser.
They've never made the top 5 before.
Oh, that's sad.
That's pretty sad, that isn't is it? Sad. Oh, I hope you get to the top 5 like this time.
Yeah,
Portugal.
Or next year, whenever. And you know, one of the big things is that not many people know this, but Cliff Richard entered Eurovision for the UK.
Did he?
When it first launched.
Did he sing it?
Yeah, he sang in the Eurovision.
I bet he won.
No. Didn't win. Didn't even make the final. Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard, though.
Yeah, didn't even make the final.
Oh, my goodness. I think the people who were listening to it were deaf.
That's the thing. Sometimes I wish I were deaf. I mean, I watched Eurovision with my friends a few years ago, and we sat there and we were getting drunk as the finals were going on.
Of course, yeah. You obviously treat this as a place to get smashed.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's an opportunity to get drunk. If you check out podcast episode 13 of Luke and Lucy FM, we talked about what it means to stay in or go out and get drunk. Check that out. iTunes, just tap in Luke and Lucy FM.
And we are not alcoholics, by the way. Can I just reinforce
that? Well, one of us isn't. I just think to myself, with Eurovision, Lucy, you're watching it, and in the countries, for example, in Spain, in Italy, these songs might be good.
Is Italy in Europe?
Staggered. Absolutely staggered. Is Italy in Europe?
I know it sounds stupid, but it's quite far away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at least 2 hours on a plane. Yes, is Italy in Europe? I mean, ultimately, we might turn this into a geography lesson. Let's not move on.
I was never good at geography. Let's move on.
Exactly. Just to clarify, Wigan is in England. That's where we do this podcast, then where it's from. If you're American or Canadian right now, you know, we've got a big Canadian following, we think. It's kind of like it's a big singing competition that you watch, but it's from other people's countries. You kind of watch and a glimpse into.
That would be weird. I don't think I'd be interested if I wasn't in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you wasn't in Europe, you wouldn't even. And also, do you think it's a good thing for tourism, Eurovision? Would you kind of, when you see Spain gurgling like some god awful love song, do you think to yourself, I want to go to Spain?
I think to myself, I want to go to Spain because it's so much sunnier than it is in England right now, and I don't want to get frostbite by going outside and it'd be hailstoning at the end of April.
The UK has had some previously good acts. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Who?
Google him. He was.
Why am I Googling everything?
Because you
Google
clearly
before.
Don't know any of this.
Engelbert, what though? I've never heard of him.
He's a famous singer, and he entered and he flopped. You know, we've had Belinda Carlisle and Bonnie Tyler both enter.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Sorry, Bonnie
well,
Tyler.
Loads of famous people entering. Didn't Gareth Gates enter once?
I don't know. I don't even know if he qualified. I don't think he did well.
Did he not?
Jed
I think
Wood.
He went for it.
Eurovision, Jedward Ireland.
Jedward.
Twice.
Obst. Did they win?
No, they didn't win.
Oh, poor Jeds.
You know the worst
thing? Are they still going?
Yeah, they're still going. They're still together. You know, one thing that confuses me is, you know, Ireland is our nearest country, right? Yeah.
Well, Ireland, just Northern Ireland is part of our country. Yeah.
They don't really ever vote for us. They always stab us in the back when it comes to Eurovision voting.
Well, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't think I'd vote for us either.
Bitter Ireland, that's what that is.
So harsh. Luke, stop calling our listeners.
If you're Irish right now, though, please do. Drop us a tweet at Luke and Lucy FM. Tell us why you don't vote for Britain.
But they might vote for Britain.
Maybe this time. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Lucy, prove us wrong.
Who do you envision in right now as a singer who represents England very well, who you'd enter as a Eurovision? But no, the BBC choose Oax and they've clueless. They don't have a clue.
That's a hard one. I would have said Beyonce, but then you did say from England.
And she's American, and so... yeah, you know. So can you think of an act that you
Zayn
think...
Zayn Malik.
Oh.
He can sing Pillow Talk.
Do you think we'd win Eurovision then?
Yeah, hello.
Right, listen, we've had enough of talking about Eurovision because...
Get Gigi on there as well.
Clearly, it's... Who's Gigi?
His girlfriend.
Oh, right, yeah. Is she American or is she British?
Yeah, I think she is.
Right, that doesn't count. And also, she's a model. What talent has she got to sing? No, I'm just saying. So, yeah, we decided we've got a journalist friend of ours on the phone now who basically talks all things Eurovision. We're going to get him on the phone and he's a bit more qualified than us because he's actually been to Eurovision. Welcome to Luke and Lucy FM, Ed Gleave from the Daily Star Sunday. Hi, Ed.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. Thanks so much for agreeing to come on Luke and Lucy FM and talk about Eurovision.
Oh, not at all. My favourite topic.
Now, the reason why we got you on, Ed, is I know that you're a bit of a Eurovision buff. Have you ever actually been to Eurovision?
Well, yeah, I went last year when it was in Vienna and covered it for the Daily Star Sunday, but also I wanted to go as a fan.
Of course.
So you got the work to pay for your trip to basically your mecca of reality shows.
That's a ridiculous suggestion, Luke. My main priority, of course, was to do my work. Yeah.
Ed, so tell us, Eurovision, we've discussed before you got you on about how the fact that it is perceived to be a bit like a freak show, right? But is that the appeal to Eurovision?
Well, I think in Britain it is. I think when people tune in, and there's about 9 million people every year tune in and watch it on BBC One on the Saturday night, but and I think British fans love to see all the wacky European acts. Mm. But I think outside of Britain, much of Europe takes it very seriously. And although a lot of the songs are terrible and some of them are ridiculous, there are four or five every year that are actually very good songs, really well written, really well organised. And so I think there's a large number of countries that take it very seriously. So Sweden, for example, has their biggest TV show is their selection process for Eurovision. It runs for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's their version of their sort of equivalent of X Factor, and that picks their winning act. And so that's why Sweden do very well. I mean, they've won. I think now they've won twice in recent years because they won in 2012 and then. They obviously won last year, but they, even when they don't win, if you look, they often come in the top three or the top five. They rarely do worse than that, whereas obviously a lot of other countries might win, but then next year they'll be really far down the pecking order. But Sweden, every year they pull out a good result because they take so long with their selection process.
So, I mean, Ed, we chatted about this before we got you on. Why the hell, as Britain, why are we not good at Eurovision? Because we can't seem to get even any
We've
sort of
well
high ranking
a long
time.
Now, halfway. And didn't we get like people who were not British, not even European, to do it a few years ago? Gina G from Australia.
Well, yeah, but she actually did quite well. She got
in
the top
10. Yeah, she did, to be fair.
But why do we not do well, Ed?
Well, I think it's possible that politics does play some part in it. But I think actually the main reason we do badly is because the acts we've been sending and the songs we've been sending especially just aren't good enough compared to what the rest of Europe's sending.
Yeah.
So even though we obviously have a great music industry, the rest, you know, in general, but when it comes to Eurovision, we're just not really putting any effort in. The last time we put any effort in was in 2009 when the BBC had a Saturday night selection process, a bit like Sweden has, and we came fifth with Jade Ewan, and that was a really strong result. and the song was very good. But it, in the other years recently where the BBC has just picked it without any input from the public, it's not been a particularly good song, and therefore we've not done particularly well. I mean, last year's was, they were lovely guys, but the Electro Velvet song just wasn't very good.
It's diabolical. I mean, sure, you need acts like, for example, Rylan. Wouldn't Rylan do so well in Eurovision?
No, you see, I think that's a mistake a lot of people make, actually, Luke, is that people think it's got to be upbeat Europop and something ridiculous.
Yeah.
When actually, if you look at the acts that are doing well, they're actually quite credible artists. So Loreen and Manzelmelo and Conchita, they're actually, you know, they do sell records in other countries. And
off
they
the
have
back
albums.
Of Eurovision.
Well, I think they would anyway, because, you know, Manzelmelo was a big name in Sweden anyway. He's from reality TV and whatnot. So, you know, you've got to put forward a song that you would put forward as a song in the charts or something like that. You can't just enter some novelty track. It's not going to work.
Oh, that's why Ireland have not been successful with Jedward for 2 years then.
Well, they did all right. They did quite well. They did better, you know, they did better than we did, but they were never going to win. Eurovision actually takes itself quite seriously now. I think because they've involved, obviously, a lot more smaller countries. It's expanded so much that then instead of having just the Saturday night final, they now have two semi-finals because there's so many people and so many countries involved.
Mm.
And because they're involving a lot of small countries, it's a big deal to them. You know, for a small Eastern European country that perhaps a lot of people haven't heard of.
They really want to win, don't they?
Well, yeah, but they also, even if they don't win...
Increase the tourism.
It's an important night in their year because it's a chance to sort of show what they can do.
Yeah.
So they take it very seriously. We perhaps don't need Eurovision in the same way, which is perhaps why we take it as a bit of a joke.
In your opinion then, Edward, and I asked Lucy this question and she suggested Zayn Malik. Who would you think, in your mind, is the perfect contestant for 2017 for us for Eurovision, if it was up to you?
Well, I can't think of an exact person. I'd say picking someone because they're famous or newsworthy isn't really the right way to go. I think we need to pick someone with a really, really strong vocal and probably a female artist, because we did well. Obviously, we won with Katrina. We came, I think, third with Jessica Garlick. We came fifth with Jade Ewan, and we came second with Imani in 98. So that's our four best results have all been solo female artists with strong vocals.
In that case, so I've got it. I know who it should be. Susan Boyle.
No, you see that... No,
she'd win.
She wouldn't do it.
Hands down, she'd win.
Susan Boyle, can I add, is Luke's favourite ever singer in the world.
Do you
so
not think she'd win?
He brings her up on every single podcast.
She'd do well, I think, but she probably wouldn't win out of principle, because I think a lot of the countries wouldn't want her to win just because they would see it as like,
she's,
oh, you've
so
just picked
successful
someone famous
anyway.
To win.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, of the six we had in our selection about 2 months ago, there was a girl called Bianca, and the song was okay, but when she performed it at the place in Kentish Town, which was also on the TV, she really impressed everyone with her vocal. There was a really great key change and a really great moment with her voice.
Mm.
And I think if we picked her this year, I think we'd have
a chance
of doing well.
Who is doing it this year?
Well, it's two guys called Joe and Jake who were on The Voice last year.
I have no chance.
No, well, I don't think the song... I wasn't a particular fan of the song when I first heard it, but I played it to a French friend of mine and I played all six and he loved Joe and Jake. So
there we go.
I might be missing something. I mean, the good thing about the two of them is they can sing, and the song it does have a sort of catchy little bit in it. So there is, you know...
We might have
a chance. Yeah, I mean,
if not,
definitely compared to last year, it's better, I would say.
There's always next year and the year after until eventually we leave Europe, which could happen in 2 months' time and then we'll be screwed.
Let's not get into that.
Let's not get into politics. Ed, thanks so much for taking the time to come on and talk about Eurovision and your love for Eurovision. Do you collect Eurovision T-shirts? Are you that big of a fan? Is that possible?
No, I sometimes don't watch the semi-finals. I'm not like Fruit Loop crazy. In fact, actually,
that's
funny
what we wanted.
I'm knowledgeable, not mental.
That is the difference.
I remember going to like a Eurovision pre-event where some of the acts were singing and some previous acts were singing. And I have to say, I've never known a group of people more knowledgeable about a topic. They knew, there were people there that knew every song from every country from every year.
Really?
And all the words to all the songs.
That's terrifying.
That is intense.
It was quite intense. But it's a lovely atmosphere. If you ever go to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course.
A few drinks, I think. Yeah.
Oh, well, you need a few drinks. That's the only way you can sit through it. Listen, Ed, thanks so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM chatting Eurovision.
Not at all.
Bye. Thanks, Ed.
Oh, how nice was Ed?
And he's lovely.
I think he didn't want to admit it, but he was a bit of a geek about Eurovision.
He's very excited about Eurovision. He's passionate. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to see.
And we want you to be
you
passionate.
You should have a passion.
I do, about Luke and Lucy FM. And if you want to check out previous podcasts, please do. Go on iTunes, type in Luke and Lucy FM. Loads of other episodes there, or audioboom.com/channel/Luke and Lucy FM. And this COD podcast, and you say COD then.
Codcast.
I'm hungry. I don't even like fish. This podcast has been supported by High Life Diners Club.
Yes, and if you do love food, if you love cod,
yeah,
and if you love dining out, why would you ever pay full price? Discover utter foodie heaven with High Life Diners Club.
Absolutely. You can feast on a whole host of well-known restaurants across the UK and never pay full price again. Lucy and I have got them. We love them. With High Life, you can enjoy two-for-one dining at thousands of top restaurants across the UK and Ireland.
We have an exclusive offer for you for Luke and Lucy. Luke and Lucy?
Luke and Lucy.
Luke and Lucy listeners. You can claim your free three-month High Life card right now. Just, it's really simple. All you have to do is visit www.high-life.co.uk/my-voucher, www.high-life.co.uk/my-voucher, and enter our unique code, which is LL16.
You can claim 3 months free with High Life Diners Club. Amazing offer for our podcast listeners. We are done. We are back on the podcast next week with episode 15. That's next week. We'll see you then. And I was just thinking, you know, it'd be perfect at Eurovision it's not super. What about Leona Lewis?
I was going to say that before.
So why didn't you, Lucy? We've run out of time now.
Ed was saying she was too famous, blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off now, Lucy. You should have said this earlier. Sorry.
You've just listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.